I will rejoice and be glad in it. This is the day, this is the day that the Lord hath made. Well, we do want to welcome Madison and Tori home. Can certainly relate to that, how nice it is to have our children home. And this time of year, we also should be thinking about some whose loved ones are not there this year, like Luke Carnegie back in Oklahoma, who lost his wife earlier this year. And young preacher Michael Whitworth and his wife that just this past Tuesday morning, their four-year-old son stopped breathing, and they were not able to resuscitate him. So there are always people like that that we should be keeping in mind in our prayers. And I was talking to Jean the other night, and she was remembering the year that John passed away, the Christmas card that Danny gave him, saying that the best Christmas gift was that he was there to celebrate with them that last Christmas. So we have many blessings to be thankful for, all of us, and we should be thinking about others that might have those sad things that they're dealing with. Jesus is presented in the Bible in many different figures of speech. He's referred to as the bread of life and the lamb, the light of the world, and the good shepherd, and the way and the truth and the life. And one of the beautiful expressions is that he is the Lamb of God. And this morning we're going to look at a statement that's made in the book of Revelation in the 13th chapter, and the thing that is said there about Jesus, where it speaks of those that were worshiping the beast, actually. All who dwell on the earth will worship him whose names have not been written in the book of life of the Lamb slain from the foundation of the world. And even though the statement is in the context speaking about those that did not worship Christ, but instead worship the beast, it speaks about those whose names were written in the book of life of the Lamb slain from the foundation of the world, referring to Jesus Christ. And I find that a very encouraging, a very meaningful statement. The Lamb of God slain from the foundation of the world. We're all creatures of time, and we live in this world where we're subject to time. And condolences to Dave because he's joining the club. But we are all getting there. And we are told in the book of Ecclesiastes, there is a time to be born and there is a time to die. But God is not subject to time like we are. We read in the book of Psalms, in Psalm 90, that before the mountains were brought forth or ever thou hadst formed the earth and the world, even from everlasting to everlasting, you are God. And in 2 Peter 3 and verse 8, Peter said, "But beloved, be not ignorant of this one thing, that one day is with the Lord as 1,000 years, and 1,000 years is one day." When the Bible speaks about the beginning of time in Genesis chapter 1, that in the beginning God created the heavens and the earth, that records the beginning of time when God created the world and things that are in the world. But the beginning of man was not the beginning of God's love for man. And we should rejoice in that. The story of Jesus Christ is the greatest love story ever told. And it is a story that began in eternity, before this world was created. And God's love is what the history of this world is really all about. God's love for man. And that everything that has ever happened between when God created the earth, it has happened because mainly of God's love for us that He has done. And the story of the Bible is that God loved us from eternity before the foundation of the world, before any of us were born. And He had a plan that He would allow His Son, the Lamb of God, to be slain for our sins. And that plan was laid before the foundation of the world. In this text of Revelation, there is a slightly different wording in the American Standard Version. Revelation 13 and verse 8 says that all who dwell on the earth shall worship Him, everyone whose name has not been written from the foundation of the world in the book of life of the Lamb that has been slain. And it suggests that the names were written in the book of life before the foundation of the world. But other translations speak about that the Lamb was slain before the foundation of the world. It does make clear that God did have His plan firmly fixed from the time of creation, that plan was already decided upon by God. And when Jesus was born, He came in the fullness of time. His birth, His life, His death, and His resurrection occurred as God promised at exactly those times and the right places, so that God's plan to send His Son to die, to be slain, came about just as God planned from eternity. We find that Jesus Christ was the greatest teacher, and that when He was on this earth, He taught things that had been kept secret from the foundation of the world, things that pertain to our salvation. And in Matthew 13, 34 and 35, Jesus said, "I will open my mouth in parables, and I will utter things kept secret from the foundation of the world." Spoke to them of parables that we might understand the kingdom. We might understand God's plan of salvation. But things that were kept secret from the foundation of the world, all part of God's plan to save us. Jesus spoke of a sacrifice that would be given for the sins of the world. He spoke of a new birth, that we would be born of water and the Spirit in order to enter into the kingdom of God. And He spoke about a kingdom, not of this world, that is within us, in Matthew chapter 4 and verse 17. He spoke about a love that would bless even our enemies and pray for our enemies. Things that the world had never known, Jesus spoke, that had been kept secret from the foundation of the world. He spoke about a way of life in the Sermon on the Mount, where blessed are those that mourn, blessed are those who are poor in spirit, blessed are those who are pure in heart. A lifestyle that would turn the world upside down, unlike anything the world had ever known. He spoke about a peace that passes all understanding, a joy that is unspeakable, and a hope that endures, that is within our hearts. Those things are things that are eternal, that Jesus brought into the world. And in 1 Corinthians chapter 2, Jesus spoke about those things when He said The Apostle Paul, speaking about preaching about Jesus Christ, that he determined to know nothing among you except Jesus Christ and Him crucified. And in verse 9 he said, "As it is written, eye has not seen, nor ear heard, nor have entered into the heart of man those things which God has prepared for those who love Him. But God has revealed them to us by His Spirit. For the Spirit searches all things, yea, the deep things of God." And that is a quotation from Isaiah chapter 64 and verse 4, which says, "For since the beginning of the world, men have not heard nor perceived by the ear, neither has the eye seen, O God, beside Thee, what He hath prepared for him that waiteth for Him." So truly these things were kept hidden. God's plan was there to send Jesus into the world and the way that we would be saved. When Jesus was concluded with His Sermon on the Mount in Matthew chapter 7 and verse 28, it says that when Jesus had ended these sayings, the people were astonished at His teaching, for He taught them as one having authority and not as the scribes. On several occasions, people made comments about the teaching of Jesus that never has anyone heard such teaching. In John 7 and verse 46, the officers that were sent to arrest Jesus came back and they said, "Never man spake like this man." And when the disciples were on the road to Emmaus in Luke chapter 24, they said to one another, "Did not our heart burn within us while he talked with us by the way, while he opened to us the scriptures?" Many of those things points out that Jesus, when He came into the world, taught things that had been planned from the beginning of time for our salvation. They were new to this world, but they were old as eternity in the mind of God. He spoke about a kingdom that had been prepared from the foundation of the world. In Matthew chapter 25, "Then the king will say to those on his right hand, 'Come, you blessed of my Father, inherit the kingdom prepared for you from the foundation of the world.'" And yet, Jesus, in John chapter 14, went on to say that, "I go to prepare a place for you, and if I go and prepare a place for you, I will come again and receive you unto myself, that where I am, there you may be also. And whither I go, you know, and the way you know." So His death was crucial to the fulfillment of these purposes of God, these plans of God. They were planned from eternity. The kingdom was prepared from the foundation of the world, but it required the death of Jesus and the resurrection of Jesus. And Jesus then went to prepare a place for us in His Father's house, where there are many mansions. But the kingdom of Christ and the kingdom of Christ here on earth and the eternal kingdom in heaven are unique among all other kingdoms that have ever been or ever will be. God does have His kingdom here on this earth. Jesus Christ is ruling over that kingdom at this present time. And there will be His eternal kingdom that we will be able to be a part of following His resurrection, or following His second coming. In Hebrews chapter 4 and verse 3, the Hebrew writer says, "For we who have believed do enter that rest, as he has said, 'So I swore in my wrath, they shall not enter my rest,' although the works were finished from the foundation of the world." They were finished from the foundation of the world. God's eternal home, His eternal kingdom, that has been prepared for us. That if we are faithful and we remain true to Christ, then as 2 Peter chapter 1, verse 10, it says, "Wherefore, brethren, give diligence to make your calling and election sure. For if you do these things, you will never fall. For an entrance will be administered unto you abundantly into the everlasting kingdom of our Lord and Savior, Jesus Christ. So we have things that were hidden from the foundation of the world. We have a kingdom prepared for the foundation of the world. We have the Father's love for His Son that existed from the foundation of the world. Jesus, in John chapter 17 and verse 24, in His prayer for His disciples, we sometimes speak of the Lord's Prayer, the Sermon on the Mount, but I like to think of John chapter 17 really as more of the Lord's Prayer. But here He said in John 17, 24, "Father, I desire that they also whom You gave Me may be with Me where I am, that they may behold My glory which You have given Me, for You loved Me before the foundation of the world." God loved His Son before the foundation of the world. He had this plan for His Son to be slain as the Lamb of God. And why did Jesus thus pray this prayer? For His disciples. Because in John 17 and in verse 9 and 10, He said, "I pray for them. I do not pray for the world, but for those whom You have given Me, for they are Yours. And all Mine are Yours, and Yours are Mine, and I am glorified in them." Jesus prayed for His disciples that they might be one, that the world may believe that God had sent Him into the world. And then He prayed that He might be returned to the glory that He had with the Father before the Father loved Him before the foundation of the world. And then we are told that the saved in Christ were chosen before the foundation of the world within this plan as being those in Christ. In Ephesians chapter 1, verse 4 and 5, "According as He has chosen us in Him before the foundation of the world, that we should be holy and without blame before Him in love, having predestinated us unto the adoption of children by Jesus Christ to Himself according to the good pleasure of His will." So God could have developed any plan of salvation or any scheme of redemption according to His nature of He is a holy God, He is righteous, He is a merciful God. He chose to save the world in His only begotten Son. And He predestined that all who would believe in, obey, submit to, and live in Christ, abiding in Christ, and who walked in love, they would be saved. So God had chosen that plan of our salvation from before the foundation of the world, through Jesus Christ. And it had been determined that those who are in Christ would be saved. They would be His elect. They would be His chosen ones. And that only through Him, there is no other way that a person can be saved. So in John chapter 14 and verse 6, Jesus said that, "I am the way, the truth, and the life. No one can come to the Father but by Me." And in Acts chapter 4 and verse 12, Peter said there, "Nor is there salvation in any other, for there is no other name under heaven given among men by which we must be saved." And in John chapter 15, verses 4 and 5, he speaks about the fact that we must abide in Him, in the vine, in order to be found in Christ. He said, "Abide in Me, and I in you. As the branch cannot bear fruit of itself unless it abides in the vine, neither can you unless you abide in Me. I am the vine, you are the branches. He who abides in me and I in him bears much fruit, for without me you can do nothing. It is through Christ, it is only through Christ that we are able to be saved. The Lamb who was slain from the foundation of the world. And the terms of salvation for entering into Christ have been clearly revealed in the Scriptures. In Acts chapter 2 and verse 37, when they heard this, they were cut to the heart and said to Peter and the rest of the apostles, "Men and brethren, what shall we do?" And Peter said, "Repent and let every one of you be baptized in the name of Jesus Christ for the remission of sins, and you shall receive the gift of the Holy Spirit. For the promise is to you and to your children and to all who are afar off, as many as the Lord our God will call." And with many other words, he testified and exhorted, saying, "Be saved from this perverse generation." And then those who gladly received his word were baptized. And that day, about 3,000 souls were added to them. So the terms have been revealed of how we are saved through Jesus Christ. Jesus Christ is the Lamb that was foreordained before the foundation of the world. 1 Peter chapter 1 and verse 18. He said, "Knowing that you were not redeemed with corruptible things, but with the precious blood of Christ as of a lamb without blemish and without spot. He indeed was foreordained before the foundation of the world, but was manifest in these last times for you." Jesus Christ was foreordained before the foundation of the world. His precious blood for our redemption. And so there is no hope in any other person. There is no hope that we can be saved through Judaism, for example. There's no hope that we can be saved through Islam. There's no hope that we can be saved through Buddhism, Hinduism, or either other Eastern religions. We cannot be saved through Egyptian mythology, through Greek mythology, through Roman mythology, through any of the African religions or the Native American Indian religions. We cannot be saved through the Sikhism or Taoism or Confucianism. We cannot be saved through New Age religions, Scientology or the Unification Church. We cannot be saved through the churches of man. We can only be saved in Jesus Christ through His eternal plan of salvation that was first proclaimed on the day of Pentecost by Peter and the other inspired apostles following Jesus' resurrection from the dead, some 50 days after that had occurred. And so the terms of salvation are clearly unfolded and clearly revealed. And in Acts 2 and verse 47, it said they were praising God and having favor with the people, and the Lord added to the church daily such as should be saved. Jesus Christ then was the Lamb of God who was foreordained from the beginning of time. And in Hebrews 9:25, not that he should suffer, should offer himself often as the high priest enters the most holy place every year with the blood of another. He then would have had to suffer often since the foundation of the world. But now once at the end of the ages, he has appeared to put away sin by the sacrifice of himself. So all of these verses repeatedly emphasize the fact that God had this plan from before the time that he created the world, from the foundation of the world. And that Lamb is now alive, has been raised from the dead. And the book of Revelation rejoices in that fact that Jesus Christ, the Lamb that was slain, has been raised up and is victorious, so that we are able to rejoice in our salvation as an established fact. In Revelation chapter 5, as the scrolls are being opened, the seals are being opened, John said that I saw a strong angel. I saw in the right hand of him who sat on the throne a scroll written inside and on the back, sealed with seven seals. And I saw a strong angel proclaiming with a loud voice, "Who is worthy to open the scroll and loose its seals?" And no one in heaven or on the earth or under the earth was able to open the scroll or to look at it. So I wept much because no one was found worthy to open and read the scroll or to look at it. But one of the elders said to me, "Do not weep. Behold, the Lion of the tribe of Judah, the Root of David, has prevailed to open the scroll and to loose its seven seals." And I looked, and behold, in the midst of the throne and the four living creatures stood a lamb as though it had been slain, having seven horns and seven eyes, which are the seven spirits of God sent out into all the earth. Then he came and took the scroll out of that right hand of him who sat on the throne. Now when he had taken the scroll, the four living creatures and the 24 elders fell down before the Lamb, each having a harp and golden bowls, which are the prayers of the saints. And they sang a new song, saying, "You are worthy to take the scroll and to open its seals, for you were slain, and you have redeemed us to God by your blood out of every tribe and tongue and people and nation, and have made us kings and priests to our God, and we shall reign on the earth." And so there is rejoicing. There is worship around the throne of God in heaven because the Lamb who was slain is alive again. He has been raised from the dead. He has fulfilled this plan of God on our behalf. So the story of Jesus Christ is the story of God's eternal love for you and for me. His plan of salvation is from eternity. And so the work of Jesus Christ was determined from the foundation of the world. The truths he taught were from the foundation of the world, kept secret. The kingdom was prepared for the saved from the foundation of the world. The Father had loved His Son from the foundation of the world. The saved in Christ were chosen in Christ before the foundation of the world. And the sacrifice of Christ was foreordained before the foundation of the world. And the Lamb is now alive and will be alive forevermore. The question is, how have you responded? How has each one of us responded to this eternal love? Because it would be the height of ungratefulness for any child to turn their backs upon the love and the sacrifices of their parents. And it would be even worse for any one who is alive today to willingly reject and turn their back upon the eternal love and sacrifice that God has made to save us from our sins through His own Son. His love is from eternity, and someday this love will be withdrawn from those who reject it for the final time. Just as God's love is from eternity, there is a place of eternal separation that has been prepared for those who reject His love. God had planned to send Jesus, and He said, "I will put enmity between you and the woman, and between her, your seed and her seed. It will bruise your head, and you will bruise his heel." And if men reject Jesus Christ, the gift of God's love, he too will be rejected. That person will be rejected in the final day of judgment. Because Jesus said that he will say to those on the left hand, "Depart from me, you cursed, into the everlasting fire, prepared for the devil and his angels." So it is for each one of us to choose to respond to God's love with obedience, with service, with our love, knowing that He has loved us from the beginning of time. Believe that Jesus Christ is the Son of God. Repent of your sins. Confess your faith in Christ. And be buried with Christ in baptism. Be faithful to Him. Worship Him. Serve Him all the days of your life. And receive the crown of life that has been laid up for you in heaven when that day comes. If you're subject to the invitation of Jesus this morning, we're going to stand and sing the invitation song. We hope that you will respond to God's love, His eternal plan that sent His Son into this world to die for our sins, a plan that was formed before the foundation of the world. And so we invite you to come today that you might be able to receive the full benefits of this plan that God has for you. In Jesus' name, we invite you to come while we stand and sing.
As thine affection began to the cross, is thine heart right with God?